When you are in a conversation with several people, what is the best way to gain knowledge from them? I tend to be a chatterbox and usually want to contribute something to the conversation. However, I always need to remind myself that if I want to get something out of the conversation, I need to let others speak and listen to them. It is the same with God. If you want to learn from God and come closer to Him, then you will need to listen to Him. So how does one go about doing that? So what if I told you there was one resource that would provide you everything you would ever need in your life? Would you believe me? You would not need to attend any master class or pay huge sums of money to a life coach. You would not need to subscribe to a membership or video channel to get the next secret of life lesson. You could view that resource online free of charge, and if you pay just a small amount of money one time, you could have the physical resource in your hands whenever you wanted. You see, the best way to learn from God is to read the Bible, also known as the Holy Scriptures. Want to have a moral code to live by? Check. Want to know God's history with the country of Israel? Check. Want to read some really beautiful poetry? Check. Want action, adventure, betrayal, and deceit? Check. Want to know what the future holds for humanity? Check. The Bible has it all. Morals, history, poetry, conflict, and prophecy are just some of the many topics God wishes us to know and to understand about Him. While looking at the Bible online is convenient, having a physical copy of the Bible is important because you can annotate it like a textbook. However, as simple as buying a Bible might sound, it can actually be one of the more complicated things a Christian does.
What?
How is that possible? It all has to do with the language most people speak, English. The English language is probably the most dynamic and ever-changing communication system ever invented. It has evolved more in the last 40 years than in the previous 300 years combined, due in part to technology. Words like internet, social media, and selfie did not exist a generation ago. Slang and acronyms fill countless pages of text across the digital ether space. So here's the problem: the original biblical languages were not English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek, which are very structured languages. Therefore, for anyone who wants to read it in English, the Bible needs to be translated. And translating it to such a dynamic language as English causes huge problems, primarily because of you. Each of us uses and interprets English in a unique way. Therefore, a work as complex as the Bible needs to communicate its message across a very broad spectrum of English speakers, and no single translation can accomplish this task. On the conservative end of the spectrum, the translation tries to go word for word from the original language. It remains accurate to the original text as possible, but it might be hard to read and understand for the reader. On the other end of the spectrum, the translation focuses less on the exact delivery and aims to convey the intent of the message through liberal paraphrasing. Therefore, a reader may understand the general message, but they may not grasp the context in which it was originally presented. When you fill the spectrum with all the English translations, you get something like this. Even though I have probably confused you thoroughly, rest assured there is a way out of this translation maze. Below are links to 6 well-known and popular Bible verses. In the matrix for each passage are different translations representing the 5 sectors of the translation spectrum. Read each version out loud and see which one most closely resembles the style of English you use on a daily basis. If one translation stands out to you, then you have a starting point to buy a Bible on Amazon or another bookseller like Christian Book. Note that there is no right or wrong answer here. You can change any of the passages to other translations if you cannot seem to find something to your liking. One final note about choosing a Bible. You don't need to purchase an expensive, fancy Bible with real leather or gilded page edges. Your Bible only needs to allow writing and highlighting, to hold loose notes, and to have a sturdy binding, because you will be opening and studying it a lot. By becoming a Christian, you are automatically enrolled in Bible college. The good news, there is only one textbook, the Bible. The bad news, the course will last the rest of your life and you will not be graded until Judgment Day. Once you have a Bible in hand, the challenge will be finding time to read and study it. Otherwise, you will have just bought another paperweight that collects dust. Much like talking to God, the best results are obtained when you create and establish a consistent routine. However, much like studying any other field, it requires several steps before what you learn becomes a part of your everyday life. Below are the general steps to studying the Bible. Step 1. Choosing a topic. Some think that reading the Bible cover to cover is a good starting point. However, a more effective way to get off to a good start is to list the top 5 needs you have, and choose one. This will help you narrow your focus to something impactful in your life. Once you have chosen a topic, do a quick online search to find what books and chapters of the Bible cover the subject matter. For example, let's say that you are struggling to get ahead both financially and in your career. An online search reveals that Psalms 37 might have relevance. Step 2. Read the chapter. A problem with the messages Christians receive nowadays is that they are a mashup of single Bible verses. A single verse can be taken out of context and can be used to promote agendas. The way to avoid this problem is to read the entire chapter rather than one individual verse. At this stage of studying, just read the whole chapter in one sitting. It is possible you will not understand the meaning of some or even all of the chapter. Don't get discouraged, though. Just absorb the words and let them sink in for a couple of days. Step 3. Reread the chapter. Now that you have had a day or two to dwell on the chapter, reread it again. There may be an idea or two that pops into your head that didn't when you read it the previous time. This is because the more times you repeat something, the more nuances you pick up. For example, the more you watch your favorite movie, the more you will pick up that you did not see in previous viewings, such as background music or camera angles. Rereading the chapter repeatedly fosters this process. Step 4. Understanding the context and times. With society as advanced as we are, one of the arguments against the Bible today is that it is not relevant to our times. However, the issue lies with our lack of understanding of the context in which it was written. Ask yourself how a person back then would have interpreted the chapter. What were the circumstances of their lives and the times they lived in and what was relevant to them? Step 5. Linking the original context to your circumstance. Once you understand what the chapter was conveying in the previous step, you can then apply it to your life experience. What you will find is that the struggles of individuals back then were not so different from the struggles we deal with today, whether it be addiction, insecurity, poverty, fear, corruption, or being labeled an outcast. You will also discover that the message the Bible conveys is timeless. What part of their life circumstance is similar to your own experience? This will allow the Bible to provide relevance in your life. Step 6. Application of the chapter to your daily life. From your understanding of the chapter, what minor change in your current lifestyle can you make now to apply what you have learned? There is a reason the word minor is used. People read Bible passages and the first reaction is to think that they need to make wholesale life changes to realign themselves to God. While this may be true, this has two possible setbacks. The first is that the person becomes discouraged and quits altogether because the change required is too daunting. The second is that the person goes cold turkey, and there are very few who can accomplish this successfully without significant negative consequences to their lives and relationships. A cruise ship cannot turn around on a dime, it takes time and space. The same goes with your life. For example, in Matthew 19:21-22, Jesus tells a rich man to sell everything and follow him, but he gets discouraged and leaves. Perhaps you can apply the lesson in smaller increments, beginning with donating a box of clothing you no longer wear to a homeless shelter. That may spur you to find other stuff you bought over the years but now collects dust. Over months and years, this little habit creates a spirit of generosity and minimalism within you that you could not have conceived of when you made this minor change. Step 7. Follow-up. Develop a time frame to check up on the application of the chapter to see if the lesson has made an impact to your lifestyle and relationship with God. The time frame can vary from several months to a year. Much like seeing your dentist every 6 months, it is just a checkup. You may discover new or alternative ways to apply the chapter, or you may find that something needs to be adjusted. Either way, it is a method of measuring progress. After you have completed all the steps, it's time to choose a new topic and begin again. Note that the process is important, not the time frame it takes to complete. Some needs in your life can be addressed in a couple of weeks, while others may take months or even years to see growth. After all, your life is not a television show where the weekly crisis is resolved by the end of the episode. The important thing is to establish the routine. You have the rest of your life to apply what you have learned.